Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're going to check in with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
In the National Guard, we place a high value on physical fitness. Just as important as our physical well-being is our mental well-being. I want to bring attention to the concept of resiliency and what it means for our soldiers and airmen. Resiliency is about our ability to adjust to and recover from adversity. While serving in the National Guard, we juggle many responsibilities, from family commitments to our civilian careers, all while fulfilling our commitment to our nation's defense. At times, we can feel overwhelmed. It is a natural response to our fast-paced lives. If you are experiencing difficulties maintaining this balance, I want you to know that help is available and that asking for help is a sign of strength. Our psychological health coordinators offer confidential assistance. You can call them 24 hours a day at 651-282-4029. That's 651-282-4029.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Megan Wellew has a master's degree in social work and is a clinical social worker at the Minneapolis VA. She's been working in addiction recovery services since 2016 and in 2021 assumed responsibility as the intensive outpatient program coordinator. Megan joins us today to talk about alcohol use and addiction recovery services at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Megan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you here in the studio. And this is an important topic. And before we get into, you know, kind of the ins and outs about alcohol use or abuse in some cases, let's get to know you a little bit. We already know you're a social worker, you have a master's degree, but what got you interested in social working and then what ultimately led you to the VA?
I really appreciate that question because it gives you a time to really reflect on why do we do this work? Why are we here? So my history and background actually started in 2011 when my ex-husband was deployed to Afghanistan. And during that time, I remember feeling really disconnected and out of touch with like the military families, military members. And then I was like, gosh, you know what I want to do? I want to help people. I want to be with other military family members and veterans and service members and to do the work that I felt a little disconnected to. So when my ex returned in 2012, we kind of went through that transition period. If anyone's been through deployment, they know that those transitions can be quite difficult. But I then applied to graduate school in 2013 and got my master's in social work. And with the idea of only to work at the Minneapolis VA. So I ended up getting an internship there in 2015 and got hired in 2016 right after after I graduated.
And there it is. So you had the plan right from the very beginning that that's where you wanted to be.
It's all I wanted to do.
Well, thank you for the sacrifice that we know that you have had to gone through. I know it is tough for our spouses to, have a member serving in the military. And so we definitely appreciate our spouses for their sacrifice. All right. So you're at the VA, and today we're going to talk about addiction recovery services in alcohol use. And I kind of want to start off a little bit, because we are at the beginning of the new year. And, I see the memes or the posts on X or Facebook that talk about, you know, get involved, have a dry January, all this kind of stuff. What is dry January? Why is it important? Or even if you know what the history is, maybe you can kind of share some of that with us.
So the initiative Dry January really started in around 2013, and it's taken off in the United States probably since around 2016. So the whole idea behind it, though, is to abstain from alcohol use during the month of January, especially for people who are maybe concerned about their drinking. Maybe they think they're drinking too much or too often. But this really gives people a time to really reflect on what is my alcohol behavior? Is this serving me? And what is it taking away from me?
Okay. And I mean, do you see a lot of positive impacts from this? Health-wise, right? We know too much is not good for you. Moderation is okay. So if I'm just a casual drinker, I have a beer a week. If I do a dry January, one less beer per week, does that benefit me much? What kind of benefits can I see from it, or, you know, our public see from it?
You know, the benefits of removing substances from our lives come in many different forms. I mean, we're going to see improved sleep with people, more increased productivity, better overall health. But also, I think the biggest part of removing substances from your life, even if you are a one-time-a-week drinker, is focusing on that mental health. And, you know, why do you even need that drink if you're only having one a week anyway? You know, what was that use for? And this gives us an opportunity to focus in on what is beneficial for me and what is not.
And is there any type of like follow-on study? And, you know, I'm putting you on the spot because we haven't talked about this yet. But all right, so someone goes through January. Do we know? Is there any data that says, you know what, they made it through January and then maybe they just, I don't even need it. I don't even drink anymore because I felt so much better mentally, physically, all of those things because I took a month off.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people are realizing that the substance isn't serving them. So, I mean, speaking in regards to data, I don't have that information in front of me, but I would say that people are seeing a difference of this isn't something that I need in my life anymore. I'm able to enjoy my life. And a lot of people talk about boredom, right? I'm using because I'm bored. This is realizing that you're not bored because you're not using alcohol. You're bored because you weren't engaged in activities that were good for you.
Yeah. One of the things that I've seen a big increase in is the number of non-alcoholic products that are now available. We went to an event, and one of the persons that we were going to be meeting with does not drink alcohol, and it was not a problem to go in and find a nice bottle of non-alcoholic wine, and it actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah, you're noticing a lot of NA products that are out there, and also the generation that's coming up right now is a lot more sober curious. And also, like, engaging in sober vacations and having sober activities and removing substances even from holiday gatherings with your friends or family members.
When we talk about alcohol, and, you know, obviously this is Minnesota Military Radio, and, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, through your work with our veterans at the Minneapolis VA, what kind of situations have you seen where there's like this big difference between in alcohol use or abuse? I don't know how to really describe it. When we compare our military communities to a normal civilian population.
You know, with our military population, alcohol use is something that's so socially acceptable. I mean, when you come into the military, you're noticing that you're utilizing alcohol for social gatherings, building camaraderie, the bonding, anytime someone promotes or anytime somebody retires. So it's become very, very socially acceptable. But the other half of that is when we're having veterans utilizing or current service members utilizing substances for traumatic events, and they're utilizing the alcohol then to a coping mechanism. And so now we see them, you know, trying to avoid the anxiety or the depression or the trauma symptoms and going to alcohol as a coping mechanism.
So is that really where you see those problems then, is because it becomes the need to get through the day, the minute, the hour, the event, whatever it is?
Absolutely. I mean, that's when people come to me, they're like, man, I've been really struggling with this anxiety. And the only thing that I feel like that's working for me is when I drink and I start to feel better. And then I say, well, how long did that last for? And they light bulb, right? It's just this temporary fix to a problem of anxiety, depression, trauma versus, you know, addressing that they're utilizing this coping strategy of, you know, escaping.
Yeah, and I think anybody listening to our show who served in the military at any point in time, they take to heart what you said, and that is, it is very much a part of the culture. Maybe not so much now as it was back when I first joined. I mean, in my first unit, we actually had a club right there in, and it was an expectation that, you know, at the end of the duty day, everybody went down in support of the club, and the thought was, or the idea was, that what you're going to do at the end of the day is going to support future events to bring in your family, to do all these things. And so, hey, we're supporting a great cause and then having a couple of beers along with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So as we talk about these differences in the people that you work with in your line of business, it's it's about changing this mindset, isn't it? You need to understand why it is that you're resorting to or drinking, so that you can then help to change the behavior.
Yeah. So when I meet with people, I really start to focus on, you know, what are the causes? What are the triggers that you're experiencing? Diving deeper into the mental health component of it, you know, the substance use becomes the maladaptive component. And I do want to mention, though, the another part about like current service members seeking help is that it can be difficult, especially if you're currently serving, to go get help.
Yeah.
You know, to talk about the things that are bothering you, or to even share with somebody, hey, I've been drinking a lot at night because I don't know if I can talk about, you know, the other thoughts that I have in my head.
And we'll make sure we share a way for someone to get in contact
Absolutely.
With the VA to get that help. And this is a great place to take a break. Then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the benefits of reducing alcohol consumption. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I have Megan Wellew with me in the studio. She's with the Minneapolis VA, and she's the Intensive Outpatient Program Coordinator. And Megan, before we went into break, we were talking, of course, about Dry January, the benefits of reducing alcohol, eliminating alcohol, and realizing some of those benefits if you can do it for 30 days. You mentioned briefly some of the benefits. Could you just kind of go through what those benefits are? And then what I'd really like to make sure we spend some time on is, how do I stay motivated to continue to do it, to get through the full dry month and then see what kind of benefits I have down the road? And maybe I want to continue.
Yeah, I think what the benefits is starting to recognize maybe what alcohol was taking away from my life. So if you are going home and watching the game and drinking for the next 4 hours, you are realizing that you're probably not very productive. So increase productivity. Maybe you're going to start engaging in new activities or trying out a new hobby. If money is important to you, you want to save a couple of dollars, you might see an increase in your pocketbook. Better sleep, of course. Better overall physical health. And, you know, again, I would say the mental health is probably the best part of it. You're going to notice a refreshing feel and maybe less irritability and able to kind of get out of the fog.
Yeah. You know, someone made a comment to me one time, you know, if you're trying to get more healthy, to get into shape, the comment that was made to me was, don't drink your calories.
Don't drink your calories. I would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so those are the benefits. That's why I should want to do it, is because I get that increased productivity. You know, I'm just going to really have an overall better feeling for myself. But we know that there are people that can just say, you know what, I'm not going to drink anymore, and they'll just be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a big deal. And then there are some that will struggle with it, and they might relapse, and you know, if there's an actual drinking problem, you know. So what do you say to somebody that you know, they weren't successful, and I don't even know if successful is the right term to use, but they had another drink even though they're trying to go through January and they didn't make it? What do you say to those people?
Yeah, I would say that it's okay to have a fall, right? Get a return to use is what we call it, and get back on track. You know, you are able to just start the next day, right? Get back on track. The other thing that I think is really important is to find those supportive people in your life. Who are those friends and families that members that you're going to call and say, hey, I need something to do right now. I want to hang out. I want to do something where we're not having alcohol be involved in it. I think other things that you can do is, I'm a visual learner, so I think writing things down, you know, write out the whys. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Even scheduling your days, going to a meeting, like hitting up a meeting. The Minneapolis VA has an amazing peer support organization, basically. So we have peer support specialists who will meet with you to talk about, you know, anything you want to talk about, really, but also peer support meetings with a bunch of other veterans, or we have Smart Recovery, which is a meeting for substance use.
Yeah, we've talked about that peer support initiative and how valuable it is when you can sit down, you know, right across the table with, or however the meeting takes place, with another veteran that has the same experiences mm-hmm. that you did, and you can see some success right there that really adds to it.
I agree.
So when we talk about, you know, the reduction in drinking versus abstinence of drinking, right? So just my nature, I'll just, you know, talk about me for a quick second. My nature is I don't really have an addictive personality. You know, I don't smoke. I could go with or without a drink. It really doesn't bother me, right? So when you're dealing with or working with a veteran and they say, hey, look, and I want to reduce my drinking, is part of that conversation to really decide whether or not reduction is important or is it abstinence that's important? How do you kind of come to that conclusion or determination with somebody?
You know, every decision that I make when I'm working with veterans is in collaboration. So what are they noticing that they want to change? And then also I'm going to give my recommendation with them. If they want to do a harm reduction approach because it's not very problematic for them or they haven't experienced a lot of consequences, I will work with that. I'm going to meet you where you are at. Right. I'm not going to sit there and be like, you say you want harm reduction, but I'm going to be like, ooh, you should probably be abstinent because I'm probably going to lose you. Then you're probably not going to want to come keep working with me.
Right. And I think that that's such a great approach. Right. Let's meet you where you're at and is baby steps the right term to use? You know, let's take baby steps. Let's get to here. Let's get to B before we try to get to D. Let's just methodically work through this.
Right. Because if you're asking me for a harm reduction approach and we make a plan and you're having a hard time with the harm reduction approach, that might then give you more information that maybe abstinence is going to be a better answer for you.
Just based on, you know, kind of the way you feel and some of these results that you're going to
experience.
You're going to feel and experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So out at the VA, you know, somebody is listening and they're like, you know, I don't know if I have a problem, or maybe they know they do have a problem and they just want to have a consult. They just want to talk to somebody to kind of do some analysis and really dig in a little bit. What do you say to them or what kind of approach do you take?
So if every time that somebody comes into the addiction recovery services, we offer a screening where we go through these very in-depth conversations with that veteran of like, what are your goals? What are you looking for? I usually start off a conversation of like, what prompted you to make this appointment? You know, and let them take that lead.
Yeah. And is what you do just for alcohol or is it any type of addiction?
All substances. So We're all substances that we have that people are having a problem with.
And obviously we're keying in on alcohol today because of January and dry January. We've already talked about the benefits. All right. So somebody comes in and they're meeting with you and you guys are having a really good conversation. You ask the question, then what? You know, I'm going to give you an honest answer, but then what? What do I expect?
Yeah, the beauty of coming in for assessment at Addiction Recovery Services Clinic is that we're going to give you a treatment plan and we're going to give you these options. We're going to say, hey, this is intensive outpatient program would be good for you or maybe individual therapy or peer support. We're going to give you the options and give you the autonomy to also make decisions based on our recommendations.
And is outpatient care the only care that you can provide there? Or do you have any type of inpatient ability for someone who has a serious issue and, you know, they can't do it on their own?
Yeah. So the Minneapolis VA provides outpatient care. The highest level of care is the intensive outpatient program here in Minneapolis. However, our inpatient program is at the St. Cloud VA, which we also, if you're looking for the inpatient, you can still come to Minneapolis and we'll get you there.
So what does intensive outpatient care mean?
Intensive outpatient is just, it's 3 days a week, 4 hours a day, for 4 weeks. So we're more intensive versus just meeting with somebody 1 hour a week.
Okay. So the care, the clinician, the social worker is a lot more involved with holding you accountable to doing the things that you're supposed to be doing those checks and balances throughout the week.
Absolutely. But it's also group therapy. And the thing about group therapy is that those experiences that you have with everybody else really ties you guys together. I mean, I think when you are sitting in a room with other veterans who have been through same or similar experiences, that's where the magic happens. That's where I see people's, you know, minds start turning of like, oh my God, I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this.
And so when someone calls you, which by the way, I need to make sure you tell someone how they can get a hold of the Minneapolis VA to get this care. It's then where through that assessment, you're going to determine the level of care, what avenue of approach you would take.
Absolutely.
And so how does somebody get in contact with the Minneapolis VA to get this assistance?
Yeah, I will say there's quite a few avenues. The three that stick out to me is if you're meeting with your primary care doctor, you just say, hey, I just want to check in with my substance use. I'm interested in meeting with somebody. They can submit a consult to Addiction Recovery Services. Another way is you can call the mental health intake team. And they say, hey, I'm looking for someone with substance use. But the easiest, quickest, fastest way to get a hold of us is to call the Addiction Recovery Services Clinic directly.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll make sure that, for the show, with our show notes, we'll have a link to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. People will be able to get there and find or navigate to the different care. And well, we appreciate you coming in and, Megan, this is a great topic. It's an important topic, and we know there are people that are out there struggling. And so if there's a final message you would have to somebody, what would you say?
I would say you don't have to do this alone. And if you're looking for any help, that we are going to offer you non-judgmental care. And the people that I work with myself are very passionate about what we do. And all we want to do is be there for you.
Awesome. Thanks so much. That's Megan Wellew. She's the Intensive Outpatient Program Coordinator out at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to get an update from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
In the past year, we've expanded our suicide prevention program, taking a more holistic approach to this difficult but important topic. Our veteran community-based services team focuses on connection to care when it's needed most. Their work includes connecting veterans in crisis to helpful organizations, partners, and communities, and providing training and education on topics like mental health first aid, suicide intervention skills, and much more. New in 2025, the Veteran Health Navigator Program connects service members, veterans, and their families to federal and state benefits. In addition, this program uses community-based healthcare systems and mental health services outside of the federal U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The program was developed with guidance from Regions Hospital and the Lee and Penny Anderson Hero Care for Veterans program. To get immediate help, call 988 and press 1. For more information and helpful resources, visit minnesotaveteran.org. End vet suicide.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon establishes and sustains a community and corporate support network that connects and coordinates agencies, organizations, and resources to meet the needs of Minnesota's veterans, service members, and their families in all military branches. Taylor Christoph Jones, a former Navy spouse, has served as the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Corporate Outreach Coordinator since the fall of 2022. Taylor, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, so you are a veteran of Minnesota Military Radio. You've been here a couple of times.
I have, yep.
And your role is the Corporate Outreach Coordinator. What really does that mean?
In our old model, we were very divided. We had the corporate lane, which was all of the companies that join. Companies are inward facing. So their steering committee is made up of members within the company, and it's there to recruit, retain, and recognize military connected employees. And then on the other side of the lane was our community networks, which you guys will hear about in March. But they are kind of the same setup, if you will, except their steering committee is comprised of individuals within that community who come together to provide support services to the military and the community. And so on the corporate side, my primary role is to help companies go through the step process to become a part of our program. But in our new model, we are now kind of one nation under BTYR.
Sure.
And so we really are no longer just staying in our lanes, the three of us, myself and the two network coordinators, we really work across both sides. So they are working with my companies, I am working with their networks, and we've really developed more of a program-wide initiative where both lanes come together to support our military connected.
Sure. So for our listening audience, we just came off of three shows of year in review. Mm-hmm. We've had opportunities to speak with our Minnesota National Guard, the VA healthcare system, of course, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we heard from our governor as well. And so I wanted to take an opportunity to kind of do a year in review with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, because we often have the newly established companies come in and share their success about becoming a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company or a network. And we hear about the struggles and, you know, the 18-month plus program or process that they went through. So maybe we can just spend a little bit of time and you can kind of highlight some of the great things that Beyond the Yellow Ribbon has done in 2024.
So our first thing was we had just almost an unprecedented number of companies that were proclaimed in 2024. We had eight. And I liken that process for planning the proclamations to planning a wedding. So there's a lot of moving parts. And it was just really great to get to work and get to know everybody, you know, in these individual companies. And then one of the other things that we had done was we were able to partner with MnDOT, and they wanted to find a way if they could circle back to kind of the old days when they used to line the streets and, you know, send off our troops when they were deploying. And because of security reasons now, that, you know, is all confidential. But they spoke to Stephanie, my colleague, at their proclamation in 2024. Or 23, excuse me, and said, we'd love to see if we can help. And Stephanie is just incredible in how she can take an initiative and run with it. And sure enough, she made what we call Operation Overwatch happen, and they were able to provide our snow trucks to deliver an escort for the buses to the airport when the 34th Infantry deployed back in March.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. And then one other thing we have, we do support opportunities now, which is where – we will get requests from either our key partners or they come up through the National Guard, but it's families that are having issues, need support, and there aren't any other resources available to them through grants or, you know, other programs. And so we're sort of there. If you can't find it there, come to us and we'll help you through it. So it's been a really great thing to see come to life and have these great stories to be able to share.
Yeah, what a great story. And in the Department of Transportation story is great because we actually had two people from the DOT in to talk about that specific event. And one of the members actually had served in the Minnesota National Guard. So it was really neat to be able to tie that whole story together and share that. What a great opportunity. And, you know, with all of these things that have gone on in 2024, and, you know, you've seen lots of different things in your time with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Is there anything that really just kind of sticks out to you, something that is maybe your favorite highlight or memory?
This is one of our favorites. Stephanie was the one who kind of came up with the term support opportunity and really sort of framed what that would look like. And the networks generally were the ones who would step up. And the companies were just a little bit slow. They weren't really sure, you know, how they could help, what they could do. And then we just not too long ago had a request that came in from, I believe it was MACV, which is one of our partners. And it was a soldier or a veteran who was trying to get home to his mother's funeral. And he had his plane ticket purchased, but he was from outside the Twin Cities and he wasn't aware of the construction. So he ended up missing his flight down there. And his airline did not have another flight that could get him there before the funeral the next morning. So Steffi and I crafted an email. We found out the price of a one-way ticket and we pushed it out to the companies. And there's about 250 plus people on that distro. So when you send an email, it sends in batches. And within 30 seconds of sending that email out, we had a company email us back and they said, I lost my mom. There's no way he's not going to make that funeral. I have a credit card. What do I do? And we were able to get him on the phone with our person at the company. He got a ticket. He made the funeral. And I think that just speaks to the power that we have to really come together and make drastic things happen in people's lives and really make an improvement.
Yeah, that really must, you know, as a coordinator, someone who's working with these companies, with the different entities, it must make you really feel good, because here we have companies that are truly putting their money, in this case, their money where their mouth is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what was even more, you know, kind of a thing that came out of that was, you know, this person had responded in 30 seconds before we could send out the follow-up email to say this has been filled. Two more emails came in and we were like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, you just missed it. And they were like, by how much? Dang it. You know, so to see them go from, you know, kind of not sure what to do to now being, you know, almost competitive and wanting to help and wanting to step up has just been amazing to see that shift and see them get engaged in that way and really want to go above and beyond just, you know, being there as a key employer, but to really be, you know, a part of the military community and supporting them both internally within their company, but also externally.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and this wasn't even a person that worked there. It was
exactly
just someone that needed help. And they're like, we want to support veterans and their families. So let's support you. Well, that's great. So I want to get into a couple of more things here, but we've got about 30 seconds left in this segment. So if I ask you another question, then I'm going to have to cut you off, which I don't want to be too rude. I'll be rude once in a while, but I don't want to be super rude right now. I mean, we just finished the holiday. So how about if we take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and maybe some things that might be coming up in 2025, and we'll tell people how to get involved, okay?
You got it. Thanks.
All right, perfect. This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we'll be right back. We'll continue talking with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I've got Taylor Christoph Jones in the studio with me, and she's the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Corporate Outreach Coordinator. So, Taylor, you know, the first segment went by really fast, and I want to make sure we talk about some of the things that are coming up in 2025. But before we do that, I thought maybe it'd be a great opportunity for you to talk about maybe some of the challenges that you see as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon outreach or corporate coordinator?
Yeah, I would say right now what we're hearing the most from both the companies and our service members is just how they find each other, that kind of direct access, if you will. And so I know with DEED, we've partnered with them, so our companies get priority tables at any DEED veteran job fairs, which is a great way to get there. We also get positions sent to us that we forward on through our soldier family readiness specialist. So that gets out to our guard that are currently serving. And then we also have where we have certain companies that have sort of a streamlined process. So they have a thing where if they see someone is a veteran or military connected, it guarantees them a phone call. Even if they're not necessarily a fit for the position, they will get a call, thank them for their service. And then another company of ours is setting up a thing where they have someone who's just reviewing resumes and is then pushing them off to the hiring managers with that recommendation to say, you know, I know this doesn't match maybe 100%, but just talking to this guy or girl, I really feel like you should meet with them, right? So they're coming together with new ways to do that. And again, we're just trying to get more messaging out to our veteran population to let them know that we have these companies and they're looking for them and they really want to work with them and find ways that we can hire them.
How do these companies or entities share that information, though, with each other? And I mean company to company, right? Because what might be working really well in one company could definitely support someone who's struggling in that same area. So what do you do? How do you make those connections?
Yeah, so we really upped our game in finding ways for them to be able to engage with one another. Typically, they would come together at an annual conference, and now we have monthly things called coffee talks where we give, you know, some updates, but they also have time to talk about various subjects or just talk with each other and share initiatives. And then we're also going to be looking at doing some specialized sessions for our HR people, and that will be like an HR forum, which will also be virtual, and then doing more things with connecting them with DEED and trying to see if we can find ways to kind of jointly come together in that partnership so that they can start working with DEED and the people at DEED who work directly with the veterans and also the people who work directly with the employers so that they can form, you know, best practices and share ideas.
So let's look ahead. You know, as you talk about the corporate network, you know, what kind of plans do you have or goals do you have for 2025? Because you already said 2024 was a big year.
It was.
With eight companies. What does 2025 look like?
So 2025 right now at least is off to a slower start because I don't have any proclamations in the next 60 days. But we do have tapping back into, again, that virtual capacity to bring people together. Tanya is going to talk a little bit more about it. She'll be heading what we call our lunch and learns for the companies. She has a background in training and development. And we're doing two series a year with three sessions each that would have information, kind of a TED Talk, if you will. So it's subject matter experts. And our first one is going to be kind of based around deployment. So they'll have training in USERRA, soft skills for managers, and then also hearing from soldiers on what they would like when they return, right? And so that gives us an opportunity to allow them to have more educational pieces to take away and help them build and also connect with each other after a TED Talk type situation to share ideas with other companies that they meet there.
So right now, I believe the number is 87 companies that are a part of or organization or corporate partners, right? Right, there was number one already. So we can't have another number one, but we certainly don't want to have someone be last either. So if somebody is out there right now and they're thinking, you know what, I'm ready. I'm ready to say I want to stand up and see what it takes to be declared or get the proclamation. How do they find out more information? What do you tell them to do?
I would tell them go to our website, and there is a kind of a generic email for us that gets monitored, and questions that come into that are then disseminated out to whichever side of the program it pertains to. So if they're interested, they can go there, and that will get forwarded to me, and then that opens the first step in our process. I send them an email that kind of gives them the logistics of what's involved, and then if they decide they want to go into next steps, that's when we hold a kickoff meeting and they meet myself and the team. And then once the kickoff is done, we work with them on their action plan. And then that accumulates once it's approved in doing their proclamation ceremony.
So unlikely they could be first of 2025, but maybe be first of 2026 because of the length of the process. So make that call, make that connection.
Absolutely.
And find out the information.
Yep.
Okay, Taylor. Well, hey, thank you so much for spending a little time with us, talking to us about Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and best of luck in 2025. And thanks so much for what you've done in 2024.
Thank you for having us. We're so excited.
You
thank
bet.
You.
That's Taylor Christoph Jones from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
Hello?
Is this Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson?
Doing the Minnesota Military Radio.
are you gone? Where are you at?
Well, it's a holiday for us.
Oh, yeah. Well, aren't you so lucky? But you know, you don't get days off.
President Carter, you know.
I'm still working.
Huh?
I'm still working.
Well, you're not a federal employee.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I mean, can you still do the show?
Well, yeah, I can do the show.
All right, perfect. Well, you have 4 minutes, though, so that's all you get to do is come up with content for 4 minutes. So what do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about, we're going to be having, as we start out the new year, we're going to be having lots of interactions with our international partners, from the Best Warrior Competition to our Trifecta Leadership Symposium, and how important those relationships are with those countries.
All right, 4 minutes. Can you handle it?
I got it.
Okie dokie. Are we going right now, Zach? All right. I'm just going to give you a quick little countdown, then we'll get rolling. So if you have your timer ready, let me know, and then I'll say let's go.
I'm ready.
All right.
Four minutes.
Here we go. 3, 2, and 1. On the phone is the Minnesota National Guard Command Senior Enlisted Leader, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Chief, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, great. Thanks for having me. Happy New Year to everyone.
Well, Happy New Year to you. Great to hear your voice this new calendar year, 2025. And, you know, we've had a bunch of year-in-review shows going on. And what I thought I might do with you is let you start off by talking about what's coming up in 2025 and some of those great relationships and how we're going to continue to foster those relationships with our international partners. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, absolutely. So, Doug, you know, you're very familiar with what we have called the NOREX, the Norwegian Exercise, or Norwegian Exchange, I should say. That is kicking off at in the very beginning of February, and we are all ready to go for that. We've got all our soldiers and airmen trained on this side of the ocean, and we're ready to bring them over and bring the Norwegian soldiers and those folks over here to enjoy northern Minnesota. So, you know, we keep this cultural exchange going. It's a great thing. It's great for our relationships. The relationships we've built for over 50 years continue to be built. But even more so on top of that, with our state partnership program, we're also going to be inviting our Norwegian counterparts and our Croatian counterparts to come participate in not only our Trifecta Leadership Symposium on the air side, but also our Best Warrior competition on the Army side. And that'll start here in March and April, respectively. So, again, it's just fostering these relationships with those folks from the countries, and we're really, really focusing on bringing the younger airmen and soldiers involved with this. So we can start fostering those relationships at a mid-level rank so they can have more of a career. You know, oftentimes it's just us senior leaders that get to build those relationships, but we found that it's really important if we start earlier, those relationships get stronger. So that's really what is the big business right now that we're looking at.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, as we talk about events like the Norwegian Exchange or interactions with our partners in Croatia, in getting these lower enlisted and junior officers involved, I think it plays a great role in retention of our force as well. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And that is one of TAG's initiatives as well, is he really feels that this Norwegian Exchange and all of the things we do with those partners in Croatia and Norway builds to our retention. It's a retention piece that is, you can't put a price on it. And it's really important in these days when we have recruiting issues. And once we get you in the door, we've really focused our efforts on trying to keep you in boots. And it's been successful, and we hope to build on those successes.
And I know that I'm biased, but having Norway and Croatia as partners, I think, are two of the best partners we could have. I mean, those countries are absolutely beautiful and wonderful to visit. So, Chief, we have, just about 45 seconds to go here. You know, you're building, you're fostering those relationships. General thoughts, how are our soldiers and our airmen doing in the Minnesota National Guard?
We've come through a rough time. We've had some challenges. But the TAG has some initiatives that work with our folks from J9. They work with all our resiliency and things like that. And we're putting together some programs that can help our soldiers and airmen as we go through some of these tough times.
Well, we look forward.
We always do.
We look forward to hearing about those initiatives as we continue to talk to you throughout the year and just hear about the great successes you're having with our international partners and, of course, locally here as well with both our soldiers and airmen. Chief, thanks for joining Minnesota Military Radio. That was Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson with the Minnesota National Guard. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to let you know about an upcoming VA Veteran Resource Fair taking place in Albert Lea on January 23rd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Veterans in Freeborn, Faribault, and Maurer counties can stop by to enroll in VA healthcare, file a claim, and meet with the County Veteran Service Officer. Join us next week for a conversation with a couple of Airmen of the Year candidates from the 133rd Airlift Wing, and we'll speak with a Minnesota National Guard member who completed the ROTC program and recently graduated from the University of Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.